You're listening to the Warwickshire Business Podcast with yours truly, Miles Grant. Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Warwickshire Business Podcast. Today we have the magnificent Naeem on the show today. How are you, brother? Good to have you on the show.
Oh, mate, I'm very good, very good. Good to speak to you again.
Yeah, great to have you on. So for the purpose of those that are listening that don't know who you are and what you do, tell us who you are and what it is you do. What is it, top line, what is it you do?
Yeah, so my name is Naeem Arif. I like to describe myself as a business transformation consultant and customer focus enabler. So work with big companies on transforming their organizations and also trying to understand their customers better.
Love that. Love that. Really cool. And so like, where did that start? What's the first kind of origin point for you? Tell us a bit about your backstory and how you got to that really succinct way of explaining what you do.
Yeah. Okay. So look, like most Asian families, you know, we had family businesses when I was little. Being the oldest son, I was involved from a very young age. I remember being about 10 years old and, you know, selling 50, 60 pound of sports good a week. Got your confidence up, got you into talking to people, interacting with people. And, you know, as life went on, I went into corporate consulting. So I worked for PwC, but we never sort of lost the family business side. And the thing that we, or my family particularly, did really well, I thought, was, you know, we sort of look from the outside in. You don't sort of realize it when you're in it. Is really looking after your customers. So we'd get customers coming back. You'd be buying off us repeatedly for years, or we'd get people coming in who say, you know, you did our neighbors, they spoke highly of you. And suddenly realized that a lot of the work that my parents did and a lot of the stuff that I sort of learned by chance was all around building those really deep relationships with customers who, you know, not only buy once off you, but buy multiple times. And it just became something that other people then said, well, can you help us do it? And that's how we got to where we are, I guess.
Love that. You know, it's funny that it's so common sense to have great relationships with your clients if you want to retain them, but it's not common practice. What would you say are some of the really glaringly obvious mistakes that you see businesses that are either clients of yours or not that you feel that they make when it comes to retaining customers and having just a great client experience so that they stick?
Okay. First, let me give you a stat. A lot of people I speak to, you speak to them and they say, we don't understand why we can't keep our customers. We do a great job. But then you look at something like the UK Customer Service Institute. I think the 2017 numbers were something like 60% of customers said they were dissatisfied with some service they received in the year. And 40% literally just went somewhere else and didn't give that person a chance to redo.
Wow.
The reality is that people, I think, don't do the basic things. They all think we do a great job, but you know, they're not necessarily polite. They're not necessarily friendly. And the other thing I always say is that people often confuse the amount of work they do with the service they deliver. You know, just because you've worked hard, it doesn't mean you did what the customer wanted.
Yes.
And you know what? Last thing I'll say on this point very quickly is just being polite. I just think it's gone out. People are no longer polite. I mean, I did it yesterday. We're in the business and, you know, some couple of ladies didn't buy anything, but actually opened the door for them when they came in, opened the door when they left, thanked them. They went in the car, sat down, two elderly ladies, and they came back in. I said, did you forget something? And said, no, because all of your staff were so polite, we've decided we're going to buy from you. And, you know, it didn't cost us anything.
But wow.
We did a £370 sale. Even though they kept saying they didn't want anything, we were just really nice and polite, not pushy, helped them in and out. And they bought off us. And I think that's where, you know, is such a basic thing that people don't do.
Wow. That's incredible. Incredible. Tell us a business success story. Because that's a success story in itself. But maybe a client who you work with, they maybe were struggling and you help turn things around. What's a success story that springs to mind of a client that you've worked with?
Yeah. So again, you know, we flip between the two because I've got retail business and consulting business. In terms of the consulting business, quite a few in the last few years. I mean, I'll tell you two very quickly. So a friend of mine, well, he wasn't a friend at the time, a friend of mine, accountant, been going 12 months, really lovely guy, struggling to get the business going and thinking about going out of business, came up to me and said, look, can you help us? And we just changed a couple of little things in terms of some of the words he used. You know, he's no longer an accountant. He was now a proactive accountant, taking the headache out of your business, and changed a few of the things, the way he pitches business, and also just some follow-ups. So professional services like accountants and solicitors, I think they're renowned for just not calling people back when they promise you and not, you know, keeping in contact with clients. Now, this was nearly 3 years ago now, and 12 months, within the first 12 months of adopting these really small changes and talking regularly, he went from 9 clients to 38 clients.
Wow.
And he couldn't believe it. It was the difference between him keeping his business and going out of business. And, you know, he's got to do the legwork. It's not that we do the work for him. We only give the ideas. So they've got to do the work. And that's just fantastic, just by being nice. And I'll tell you one more very quickly. Just went to 4 dental surgeries in London. Very capable dentists. But again, struggling. So we took a little project off and we said, we'll sell out teeth whitening for you across all your surgeries. And we implemented a very cheap CRM called Zoho. Again, changed some of the messaging, talked about the benefits and in terms of not just that, you know, you're going to get teeth whitened, but just you can smile with confidence and this and that, you know, talked about those kind of things, real things that customers wanted to know. And the first week we didn't, but the second week we sold out all his teeth whitening. And just, I think, understanding about your customers, that's the thing. Just really think about your customers. Don't think what you're doing is great. Think what your customers want and then align yourself with that is essentially what we help people do.
Beautiful, beautiful. So what is the what's the business's vision for the future? Like what are some of the kind of big projects you're working on? What's the real vision moving forward?
I think, so we've got a book coming out this month called Customer First, which puts a lot of what we've done into practice. I think the important thing for me, as CEO of the retail business, of the consultancy business, is a big issue with the high streets. A lot of people are, you know, turning away from the high streets, but it's not because the high streets are dead. It's because the high streets are not as effective as they used to be. When you go out to buy, you know, there's certain things you're going to buy online because it's cheaper and you've got more options. But whenever you go into, you know, shopping malls, you go into the ball ring or wherever in town, it's always full of people. Now, that means to me that people actually do want to go shopping. They just don't want to buy the way that we used to sell. So a big thing for me, you know, in 2019, we're looking at spending a lot of time on the high streets, talking to a lot more retailers about how we can help. That's a big thing for us this year. I think we're going to spend a lot of time and give a lot of time to the local high streets, I think, as well.
Great. Love that. Yeah, it's really great because you're right, the high streets are still really busy, so there's just something they're not doing. Great. Love that. So you've got the book coming out, which is amazing. I also know that you're very committed and passionate about learning yourself. What's a twofold question? What's the best business book you've ever read? And then maybe what's something that you currently got your teeth in at the moment?
Okay. I'm going to be a bit controversial here. I'm going to say one of the best books I've read was the Gary Vee book, not Jab, Jab, Right Hook, but the one, the Gary Vee show, where he did all the snippets from the show. I felt... and I actually listened to it on audio. I bought the book as well, but I got the audio CD. Yeah. I felt like that brings in so many different facets in one book, and it's all bang, 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 you know, knowledge and action. And you don't really have to get into a big storytelling phase. It just goes through a bunch of stuff really quickly. I think that's really good if you want to be a modern day business owner, CEO. Have a read of that. Some really good insight in that. Something I'm reading at the moment, I actually picked up the other day and I've gone back to it, is Seth Godin's Purple Cow. I bought it a while ago. I read it, I enjoyed it. I think I appreciate it more at the moment. So, you know what, if you've not read either of those books, I definitely go and look at those. I think those are really good. Seth talks about, again, a lot about not really marketing, just more about understanding where you are, who you are, where you're going, being a lot more self-aware. And I think that's a really good book if you want to do something. And Seth's book isn't actually that big. You know, it's quite thin. You could probably read it all in a day. So I'd go and pick those up if you could.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I've got the audio of that one, and I think it's about 2.5 hours long. So you could put that on a drive home, and in a couple of days you've read it. So yeah, very good, very good. I also know that you value mentors. Who's been a great mentor to you? And then also, what's maybe the best piece of business advice that you've ever been given? It may have been from a different mentor, but who's been a great mentor, and what's been the best business advice you've ever been given?
Okay, interesting. I first of all, I think that you don't go with one mentor. I think you go with multiple and you might move. My mum and dad continue to give me great advice. And it's not like, you know, sit down, have a lesson. It's just watching what they do. You know, granted, they make mistakes as well. We all make mistakes. But the thing that they have is that it's that resilience and that ability and that single-mindedness to get the job done. You know, my dad's 71 this year. My mom's 65. And they both refuse to retire. I think they're great. But in terms of other people, you guys probably will know, loved working with Daniel Priestley. And to be fair, I'm doing a bit of work at the moment with Andrew Priestley as well. Couple of really great guys in terms of getting some sound advice, getting some no-nonsense advice from them. Other than that, I don't really speak to many people. I mean, I'm quite lucky. I've got a little network of people. You know, you're involved in that network as well, of people in the Midlands who are 6 or 8 business owners who are going through that through that journey. And I'd say they're probably really good mentors for me as well. A really good sounding board. You know, a lot of people will have heard of the concept of a mastermind. You know, we sort of come together, you know, as you are as well with us. And it's people going through a journey, giving each other honest advice, giving you a kick when you need it, but also giving you encouragement. And I think that is really working for me. It's really helping me. I mean, how do you feel about that as well? Because you're in that group as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I agree. I think just you become like the 5 people you spend the most time with. If you spend time with 5 really strategic thinking business people, you'll be the 6th. If you spend time with 5 positive people, you'll be the 6th. If you spend time with 5 healthy people, you'll be the 6th. If you spend time with 5 idiots, you'll be the 6th. So yeah, I'm a big believer. You become who you spend the most time with. So yeah, it's really, really valuable.
But just to add to that, so I'd do them a disservice if I didn't mention them, but there's that group, there's a couple of other people mentioned, and I've got another business group as well, which is 4 friends, and we all came together about 3 or 4 years ago. But again, it's 3 or 4 of us. We call ourselves the Baggers Breakaway Group. You can talk to each other honestly and say, do you know what? I'm having a crap day. What do you think? Or I've done this. Can you just give me some real honest advice? Is it good or is it crap? And these guys, we give each other just straightforward, no nonsense advice. So I think in answer to your question, yeah, there are people out there you can get as mentors, but I get a lot of value from close friends and people I work with closely who are easily good mentors for me, I think.
Great. Love it. Love it. Controversial question. Biggest business lesson. So something that, I don't know, maybe was at the time a bit of a head in hands moment, but on reflection, it's provided you with a significant amount of growth that's kind of allowed you to get to where you are now.
Okay. I'm probably on about my 5th business since I was young. I'm 45 now. A business I had about 10 years ago, I partnered with two other guys, and it was an app development business. And I literally felt like I dragged my two friends along with me. They weren't ready for it, and they didn't necessarily see the big business advice. And we invested about 18 months, developed a bunch of products, but we probably weren't all at the same journey. We probably all didn't have the same burning platform. I was probably more driven than they were. They had comfortable jobs. So a big lesson for me was that it's great to work with other people, but you need to work with people who are on the same page. Otherwise, you're better just working on your own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love that. Love that. Great advice. What would you be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing now, which otherwise known as what did you want to be when you were a kid?
Oh, wow. All right. I'm going to be really sad then. I was about 12 years old when I wanted to be an accountant. I think, you know, look, you know, coming from an Asian family, my parents moved to England when they were about 10 and 12 respectively. I grew up through the 80s, and it was tough times. You know, it was tough times being, I'll say, a minority or a migrant, whichever way, but it was tough times. And I think I always aspired to be better than my friends or my, you know, my other Asian people around. So I think I'd always wanted to do stuff like this. I'd always wanted to have a white collar job, an office, people working for me. So I think even if I won the lottery tomorrow, I think I'd probably still want to do something like that. I don't think I'd sit at home. So yeah, I think I'm a little bit sad like that, to be honest. Unfortunately, I wouldn't go and sit on the beach. I'll probably do it for a week and get fed up.
Yeah. Well, everyone says that they would want that, and then they get bored very quickly. Yeah. What's a key performance habit that you love? So by that, previous people on the show have talked about things like walking the dog, meditation, going to the gym, just making sure they're home to read their kids a book before they go to bed, you know, things that are not related directly to the business, but have an impact on your mindset and your headspace. What's one that you love?
Okay, that's a good one to ask, because for me personally, I'm pretty bad at that. You know, I think I tend to try and manage all my stakeholders, so my kids, my wife, my parents, my immediate family, my friends. I probably manage them better than I manage my own. I mean, something I've talked about for a good 18 months now is around spending more time getting healthier, because I used to be really athletic and eat healthy and everything, and I've just really struggled to do it. If I'll be honest, if I want to look after myself, I need to pay more attention to things outside of the business, being healthier and things like this. I find that definitely the last 18 months with the retail business exploding, I mean, this is the third year double digit sales growth. We're up for a number of awards. This is the third year now where I probably have worked 7 days a week regularly and just taken a couple of weeks off a year. I think, if I'll be honest, once this book's out, I can't take the foot off the gas, but I've certainly got to start allocating time. I think I'm sure you'll hold me accountable to this, you know, making good on some of these promises which I've kept delaying. I think it's a lot of value to your health and to your future, but also you know, what you can all, if you can give something to society, and you know, and you're not looking after yourself, then you're probably depriving society or your family of that. I'm just conscious I don't want to be 50 and have a heart attack because I haven't looked after myself. I think that is got to be something I really give a lot of priority to.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question? I might have gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there'll be a lot of people that will hear this, and you know, it's great for people to say, yeah, I do this, I do that. But actually, there's probably a lot of people like you that would hear this and go, actually, I don't have a key performance habit, and actually, just that heightened awareness of, I need to look after myself, or I need to prioritize other things that are not the business is good. So I'm sure a lot of people will relate to that. So that's great.
I mean, let me just add to that. I think it's very easy to have to have achieved all your goals and then become healthy and then tell everyone else to do it. But you've got to balance it up, because otherwise, if I'm not careful, let's just stick to me. If I'm not careful, I could get, a stroke or something, and then suddenly everything I'm working for goes out of the picture. So you've got to keep an eye on that. I think it's really good that you ask people what are those habits they do, that they measure. We should all do that.
Yeah. Last question. How can listeners connect with you moving forward? Because there'll be some people that have heard this inevitably will want to connect with you, either because they want to get a copy of the book that's coming out, or they want to talk to you about consulting and support and how you can help them with their business. What's the best way for people to connect with you moving beyond the show?
Okay. So we put hashtag NACBBF on everything we put out. So that's one of the ways, if you want to listen in or get some insights to what we talk about. And as I say, I think the whole customer service side and looking after your customers is the best way to make your service stand out. Come to the website, naconsulting.co.uk, or probably just follow us on Twitter, NA Consulting Limited. To be honest, I talk to a lot of people every week, and they don't all become money transactions. So I'll be happy to have a chat with anybody who thinks something I've said resonates, and don't think that, I'm going to give you a bill or the fees are extortionate. We're really genuinely interested. We're in a fortunate position that we've got good income streams for the consulting business, and we'd be interested to have a chat. So, have a look on Twitter, or have a look at the website, or just search for hashtag NACBBF.
Brilliant. And just so you know, those of you that are listening, those links will be in the show notes underneath the episode. Naeem, thank you for being on the Warwickshire Business Podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, mate. It's been good to talk to you again.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, feel free to hit share. There should be a button somewhere where you can share the show with your friends, colleagues, family members, cats. Maybe that's just me. But feel free to share the show, and we'll see you on the next one. Be sure to hit subscribe as well so that you get notified of future episodes. Have a great day.